Sunday morning, 8:31:25. We're going to look at part two of body worship today. The title is Back to the Beginning. As far as I'm concerned, the whole church regime, I'm not talking about those that walk by faith, I'm talking about those that have given themselves over to Jewish customs, have just do works, are not led by the Spirit. The teaching's going to have to bring them back to the beginning. Got to know our foundations. I taught that on TV this morning. Went into all the Jewish stuff this morning on television. And how there's only one church. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. There's only one Israel. That's the body of Christ made up of Jews and Gentiles. And the sooner people can get to that realization, the better off we'll all be. And so that's what this teaching is about. What does it mean to worship the body? This is what I put. Every little squeal that the body makes, you're right there to take care of it. That's body worship. One of the vehicles I've had in recent years, as I was driving, it would ask me if I would like to have a health assessment. Our cell phones offer to monitor us 24/7. Well, what it's monitored to do is scare the life out of you. Because if you adhere to that, you're not going to hear anything good. Oh, you better get to your whatever right now. Our cell phones offer that 24/7. I know someone that wears a monitor. They keep it on 24 hours a day to keep their blood pressure and sugar levels. They sleep with it. The whole world is all caught up in this, and the born-again believers are right along with them. They live and die by what the doctor says. These monitors tell them that what they should do. Talk about a ball and chain. Remember the elephant story? Chained in their minds. The same said person, which I won't call any names, quit supporting this ministry and watching the television program because they were afraid that they'd have to give up their medicine. It's sad. It's sad to me. But the whole, for the most part, the church system has fallen prey to this. Okay, and we wonder why the world's in the shape it's in. As the church goes, so goes the world. Okay, we're going to read Matthew 6:24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto a stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewith shall we be clothed? What should we be saying? Thank you, Lord, you've provided for us today. You always do. Your grace is always sufficient. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient to the day is the evil thereof. Okay. God is Jehovah Jireh, our provider. Old covenant, new covenant, doesn't matter. Okay, we're going to go to Genesis 1. We're going to start with verse 26 there. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Is that why the deep state was able to land grab everything all over the world? God didn't mean it for it to be that way. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. The world system has caused us to have to purchase. We have to pay for our water. We have to pay for electricity. We have to pay licenses to be able to fish or to hunt what's rightfully ours by right. And God said, behold, I've given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed to you, it shall be for meat. You know how high groceries are? And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. In the evening and the morning were the second day. Now we're going to look at chapter 2 here. I want to look at a little further. We're going to start with verse 8 here. We're having to pay $3,600 an ounce for gold that God gave us free. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed, and out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden. From thence it was parted and became into four heads. And the name of the first is Pison, that it is which compasses the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold. And the gold of that land is good. There's bedlam and onyx stone. And the name of the second river is Gihon, the same is it that compasses the whole land of Ethiopia, which we know it's rich with diamonds. And the name of the third river is Hiddekel, that it is which goeth toward the east of Assyria, and the fourth river is Euphrates. And the Lord God took the man to put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. In other words, he'd fall from grace. He died spiritually. And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field, every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. We were always supposed to make the call on this earth. Then why is everybody else making the call for us? Taking our money. And Adam gave names to all the cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a helpmeet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh and instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. And he called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. There wasn't no shims in there, no transgender. There wasn't no female with female, male with male. From the beginning, God made it perfect. God, by faith, created this place for us. He didn't want his man to have a care in the world. He wanted us to carry any care about anything. He never wanted us to be in the situation that we're in today. But he didn't do it. His man did. Okay, we read last time how many times God said. This is Genesis 1:1-3. And God said, let there be light. There was light. 6. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and divide the waters from the waters. Verse 9. And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. 11. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. All right, 14. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night. Let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. 20. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. Verse 24, God said, let the earth bring forth a living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing and beast of the earth after his kind. And it was so. See, God, he didn't want us to struggle or care about anything. 26, and God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, behold, I've given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat. So God provided all of these things. Not only did God said, he also called. Right here, Genesis 5 and 8. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. Okay, let's 8. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. So Romans 4:16-17 talks about the God that calls those things that be not as though they were. Romans 14:16-17. About calling it the way you want it. Verse 16, therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Romans 9:11. For the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. See, this is body worship. It's works. Everything we do to strive to take care of this body, to live. We're made in his image and likeness to do the same thing he did. Right here, calleth means to call forth aloud. That's what God did. The fallen man was a fall from his original position. Jesus died on the cross to restore man back to his rightful position, a son of God, just like Adam was in the beginning. 1 John 3:2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Now we are the sons of God. Hebrews 11:1, now faith is. Now we are the sons of God, and now faith is. This is what sets us apart. Satan shot up in the garden and tricked man out of his inheritance. I mean, what do we do? All right, Genesis 3. Verse 1, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made, and he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said? We get into trouble when we get off his word, don't we? Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Crafty. Okay. How did he do it? He got them to question what God said. Doctrines of devils, myths, and legends. We hear about them now more than ever. All this stuff has resurfaced, all this crazy stuff about, I won't go into it, but just crazy stuff. God is restoring his apostles to the church because they will set things decently and in order. What does that mean? It means they will run things by the book. I'm talking this book. The Bible is the word of God. Paul said this. This is 1 Corinthians 14:40. He said, see that everything is done decently and in order. Paul was a by-the-book kind of guy. Right here, let all things be done decently and in order. Okay, I got a few scriptures here. These are in Titus. First one's Titus 1. We're going to start with verse 9 there. Holding fast the faithful word is he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convince the gainsayers. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision. Nothing's changed. Whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said, the Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. This witness is true, wherefore rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith. Not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. Unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient unto every good work, a reprobate. Okay, Titus 10, verse 10 through 12 here. Not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Titus 3, 9 through 11 here. But avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. A man that is an heretic after the first and second admonition, reject, knowing that he that is such is subverted and sinneth, being condemned of himself. And I'd caution you, beware of anything that's got the word care in it. Lots of institutions have the word care in it, healthcare especially. It's used in everything. This is Satan's key word to ensnare. You know, got my little Care Bears up there, the Care Bear snare to ensnare. Healthcare is the biggest. So many worldly services have this word in it. We think lawn care, fretting about the yard all the time. That's care. Anything we're fretting about and we're taking a thought about, that's care. It's a snare. The Care Bear snare. It's subtle little things that you don't think about. We live in a society that is geared to make you take thought about all these things. The commercials are full. Oh, you better get to your doctor if you have these symptoms. Or whatever the case may be. Taking a thought. Psalms 91. Don't take a thought saying, well, that, you know, that troubles me. Or that bothers me. Or I don't like that. What kind of mode is that getting you in? We have to watch our words. Right here. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He's my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler. There's the Care Bear snare. Snare of the fowler. And from the noisome pestilence. Yeah, they've come out with a new thing. It's some weird human flesh-eating worm or some kind of junk. See what I mean? The whole system. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 may fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder. The young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him with long life while I satisfy him and show him my salvation. What's the world system doing? Robbing us. Satan's agenda, kill, steal, destroy. Right there. Well, the Lord says, that's not me. Psalms 124:7. Father knows best. Our soul is escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowler. The snare is broken and we are escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. How do we avoid the snare of the fowler? Well, Romans 12:1-2, renew your mind with the word of God. That's the best way I know. Keep your mind on what God says in His Word about you. Therefore, you won't be listening to what the world says, because it's opposite of God. How many Christians really do this? It is time for God's sons to become who they truly are. God and His Word go together. Faith comes by hearing, not by having heard. The church has become junk food junkies. They are listening to the world and its ways to dictate to their lives instead of what God's Word says. They're just going with the flow. I'm not around many people, but their conversations are mainly full of self-care. I had a conversation with most middle-aged people and elderly people, you would hear about the medications they take and their trips to the doctor. That'd be the prevailing thing coming out of their mouth. Young people would talk about their eating regimen and their exercise programs. All this is body worship. Satan's narrative is being piped out constantly on every avenue possible. It tells you what to do about everything. What you should eat and drink, what you should wear, how much sleep you need, and on the control goals. Oh, there's a new study out. Yeah. If this isn't body worship, then I don't know what is. Complete and total control over every human being on earth through the media, through media sources. 1 Timothy 3:7. This morning on the broadcast, I really got into the juice stuff. All right. Moreover, we must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach in the snare of the devil. Maintaining a good report is very, very essential. Because you know what? Satan's come like in the garden for your words. To get you to question God. Well, hath God said? Has he really said? I'm having all these problems and I just don't know what to do about it. But God's word already covered it. He already said about what, you know, says what it says in the word of God. But to people that are sense ruled, that's not enough. Okay. 2 Timothy 2:26. And they, well, let me just do 25. In meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive by him at his will. You know, I've learned as I'm getting more mature in the faith that it's not about telling people what to do. It's about getting them to see what they need to do. Not you telling them what they need to do, but get them to see what they need to do. Because God's word instructs us what to do. Okay, Danny had a visitation from the Lord about body worship. The Lord reminded him of a well-known minister with a large partner base say this, you have to take care of your body. Here is the snare of the fowler. This goes against what the Word of God says. I have taught for decades about leaven. Leaven. We're going to look at leaven. Mark 8:15. Oh, but Brother So-and-so said it must be true. Well, Brother So-and-so is human just like you. And he charged them, saying, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod. In other words, the church and the leader of the nation. Matthew 13:33. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for you know not what the time is. Well, I don't know why I put that one down. Anyway, let's keep going here. Matthew 16:6. Well, that's not about it either. Let's look at verse 12. Okay. Let's go on to Galatians 5.
Matthew 16:6 has leaven in it.
Maybe I'm in the wrong book. Let me look. That's probably what I did. I probably turned over too many pages. Okay. Then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. That's the religious leaders. Then 12. Then he understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Okay. Galatians 5. Eight and nine. This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will be none otherwise minded, but that he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. In other words, they took it seriously to deal with this leaven that was popping up trying to infiltrate their freedom in Christ Jesus, basically. 1 Corinthians 5, 5 through 7. To deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus, your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Always trying to creep in. Luke 13:21. We have to watch it, because this is how the rapture theory got started. Somebody's experience, a dream. It wasn't really even based in Scripture. 13:21, someone took a hold of it, started proclaiming it in the services like it was the Word of God. Jesus said here, 20, again, he said, whereunto shall I liken the kingdom of God? It's like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till the whole was leavened. That's the kind of leaven we need. The Word of God that levels all that garbage out. No longer infiltrating the body of Christ. It will take over everything. We see this in our world today. It has. It's taken over everything. Okay, let's go to Colossians. Chapter 2. For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you and for them in Laodicea, for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and to all riches of the full measure of the understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Jesus. What's the mystery of Christ? I believe it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's where people get off with the Jewish stuff right there. They don't realize God's no longer in the box. He's no longer going to live in a temple made with hands. He's inside of his people. In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joined and beholding your order in the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. I was explaining yesterday to someone the fact that they have to understand, even if parts have been taken out of the Bible, that this the Word of God is spiritual. And I said, you know, the word is supposed to be like we're epistles read of all men. God's word, the Holy Spirit showing us things to come. They can't take that away from us. They can take books out of the Bible, or they can skew the scriptures, but they can't take the real word of God. It's in us. In whom also you're circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also you're risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. Having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, not holding the head them from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment ministered and knit together, increases with the increase of God. Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are ye subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which are all to perish with the using, after the commandments and doctrines of men, which things have indeed a show of wisdom and will worship and humility in neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. It's all through the church. I'd say if you hear these preachers saying this stuff, turn them off. Turn them off. Don't let them infiltrate you. Okay, go back to 2 Corinthians 2:12. Furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened unto me of the Lord. Wait a minute. Is that right? 2:12. Yeah, I guess so. Then 18 of that same one. I guess I must have written it down wrong. Sorry. Could it be first? Oh, Lord. Look, 2:12. Okay. Now we have this is 1 Corinthians. 2:12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. And then 18. Well, see, that isn't either, so I don't know. Let's just move on. You can't afford to let the leaven compromise you. This is double-mindedness, and James talks about that. You wonder why people can't get a hold of operating by faith. If you're compromised, if you're double-minded about it, and you're confused between the works of the flesh and actually faith works, then you're going to get zero results. James 1:8. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You know, I've seen too many people that were word of faith die. And believing God and using their faith. I don't know. Lord knows. Okay, 4:8, James. Draw nigh to God, he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. In other words, you're drawing nigh to God, not just works. You're not taking it unto yourself. Well, if I confess enough today, if I do enough today, God will be pleased with me and he'll heal me. See, that's wrong thinking. He already has healed you. Okay. No more Jew junk in the church. Galatians 3. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female. For you're all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ, then you're Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. I mean, they're going to be real upset, those that continue on with what they're continuing on. Colossians 3:11, where there is neither Greek nor Jew. Well, let me read 10. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. That's the truth. Ephesians chapter 2. I quoted this morning on the broadcast. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were far off and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Then it goes on to talk about church leaders here over the church. This astounds me that Jews don't see this. But when Moses is read, the veil is upon the face, it says. So I guess that's why they're so steeped in it, they can't see the truth. To those that are propagating this lie, stop it. If you're hearing my voice, stop it. There is not a no-eat list. I don't care who says that there is. 1 Timothy 4. I appreciate Brother Hagin. He had a revelation of this. He said, you know what? If you have to eat a skunk, you just pray over it and eat it. You know, people, I've heard people say that. Just so fretting about that woman that came out of the satanic movement that was going to be a high priestess. She said, they messed with everything. You better be praying over your food. You can't do enough to undo what they've done. Only God can. So we pray over our food. This is 1 Timothy 4. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commending to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. This morning I was sent something from Telegram, and it's a young Catholic priest, and he's saying, you cannot be a good Catholic and do anything that the Democrat Party says. Transgender, no way. Homosexuality, no way. I think, well, good for you, young man. Maybe you'll change. For every creature of God is good, nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God in prayer. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself further unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having hope of the life that now is and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. These things command and teach. This is not a new doctrine. People act like that's the weirdest thing I've ever heard, but it's not a new doctrine. It's the real doctrine. Pray over it, need it. Body worship is the works of the flesh, and that nullifies the word of God. All right, we've got a few more scriptures here. Galatians chapter 5. If you get into the works of the flesh, then you're going to start going down a road that you won't be able to use your faith because you'll compromise. You'll be double-minded. Right here. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. See, these works just nullify. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. See, they don't tell you that. Christ has become of no effect unto you, whosoever of you are justified by the law. You're fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. You did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased? I would they were even cut off, which trouble you. For, brethren, you've been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. But for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye are led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. And it goes on to talk about the works of the flesh and the works of the Spirit. Romans chapter 7. See how much I've got. Yeah, it's a long one today. Get a drink. Starting with verse 1. Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth? For the woman which hath a husband is bound by the law to her husband as long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then, if, while her husband liveth, she is married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. Now we're talking about spirit versus the law here. But if her husband be dead, she is free from the law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we would serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law, for I had not known lust except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence from without. The law, sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment which was ordained to life I found to be unto death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me and by it slew me. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy and just and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not, but what I hate, that I do. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. But the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that which I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that, when I would do good, evil is present with me, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. It's confusing. I mean, to a Jew, I'm sure it's confusing. Steeped in the law, works of the flesh. There is therefore, chapter 8, now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sent his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. God can't even communicate with works of the flesh. He can't communicate with that person. Kind of like in the garden, God lost his communication with his man because of the fall. But you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. If Christ be in you, thy body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. You have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. If children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, what doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. The Spirit's available to show us what to do, that we don't just step out in the flesh and do things. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. To operate just like he did. Acts 8:1. And Saul was consenting unto his death, and at that time there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. What was going on here? You got somebody, some Jew that's zealous for the law and thinks he's doing God's service by killing people that are born again. Why does the Christian church so deify the Jews? It's been a narrative, I know. And they use the anti-Semitic rhetoric to always blame the other group. It's never their fault. They're always the victim. And so they've used this rhetoric for years, and it's infiltrated into the church, that they're some super being above us. They are not. The Jews have stumbled all over what Jesus brought to them. This is Romans 9. I mean, they absolutely missed the boat. Now it's not too late. I hope some of them hear this. But Israel, this is 31 of chapter 9 of Romans, but Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore, because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law, for they stumbled at the stumbling stone. As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone, a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. They're trying to attain it by continuing with the works of the law. And they infiltrated the Christian church to go right along with them. They followed after righteousness but have not attained it. So why does the Christian church look to them and revere them? The Israel homeland was purchased by a Rothschild. God didn't do that, as we have been taught, the Balfour Declaration. How it was done should wake everyone else up. They ran the original people off their land. They pushed them off their land and essentially made them prisoners. This is a deep state operation. The Christian church is going to be the one that's going to really be the one that this is hits them the hardest. If it's a land grab, that's what all the wars are about. They're bankers' wars. No wonder they're always fighting over there. It's just like the other wars. It's always about a land grab and taking what is not theirs. But we know who the real thief is, Satan himself. It's time for the Christian church to know the truth. Romans 10, 1 through 4. Right here. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to every man that believeth. So, the end of the Jew junk was at Calvary. Didn't just start now and nowadays. At Calvary. Verse 6, but the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thy heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring Christ up again from the dead, but what saith it, the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made into salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So he didn't put a difference between the two. Paul said they were disobedient people. Right here. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent, as it is written? How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words into the ends of the worlds. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. But Isaiah is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. But to Israel he saith, all day long I stretch forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. I didn't say it. The Word of God says it. All right. So why do Christians want to be a part of that? I don't know. I don't understand that. All right, I'm going to read just a few more scriptures and we're going to be done here. Chapter 11. I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Want ye not what the scripture saith of Elias, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets and digged down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. But what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Even so then, at this present time, also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, works is no more work. What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for. But the election hath ordained it, and the rest were blinded. According as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of stupor, eyes that they should not see, ears that they should not hear, unto this day. And David said, let their table be made a snare and a trap and a stumbling block and a recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened that they may not see, and bow down their back alway. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid, but rather, through their fall, salvation has come to the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. Now, if the fall of them be the riches of the world and the diminishing of them, the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? For I speak to the Gentiles insomuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. If by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh and might save some of them. It's not too late for them. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. If some of the branches be broken off, and thou, being a wild olive tree, wert grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches. But if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. That will say then, the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief, they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. So we've got to have this right attitude concerning them. Okay, in Acts chapter 15, I won't read it today, but we know that it established that the Gentile church was not going to be made to go under Jewish customs. They were just to restrain themselves from things sacrificed to idols and blood, drinking of blood, and they were to not push any of the Jewish customs onto them. The church in Jerusalem, the apostolic council there, made that decision. And it went throughout all the churches that you were not to push the Jew stuff onto the born-again believers because they're contrary one to another. It's bewitched the church is what it's done. Okay, I'm going to read Galatians 3, and we're going to be done here. Paul talks to the Galatians, saying, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth crucified among you? This only would I learn of you, received you the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Have ye suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham? And the Scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all the nations be blessed. So, then they which are of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham, For as many as are the works of the law are under the curse. It is written, cursed is everyone that, I got to get a drink. Cursed is everyone that continueth not in the things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be a man's covenant. Yet, if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not into his and to seeds as of many, but of one, to thy seed, which is Christ. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of non-effect. So it's my hope and prayer today that through these teachings, going over the airways, that the pastors will begin to get a clue concerning their churches and get the leaven out.